Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Mani Mamre Mei Ram Gold Ra and Tirim Zechus Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Tes. The ninth parakah goes on Eitzim. So the three daps are going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara seeks to disprove that a craftsman acquires the utensils improvement from a brisa discussing the prohibition of delaying a laborer's wages overnight. If a craftsman completed work on a cloak given to him and informed the owner but did not return the cloak, the owner does not transgress the prohibition even 10 days later. However, if he returned the cloak midday, as soon as the sun sets on him, he transgresses on its account the prohibition of a laborer's wages shall not remain overnight with you, because the wages are owed as soon as the cloak is returned. If the craftsman acquires the improvement and his wages are considered payment for a sale, there should be no violation of baltalin. Even if he was hired to soften the cloth, that improvement will also be acquired. The Gemara answers that he was hired to stamp on the cloth, bitsha bitsha b'masa, a ma for each stamping, meaning he's paid for his acts and not the cloth's improvement, so he does not acquire it. Rav Sheshia said that kablanus, contractual work, work paid for completing a task, is subject to baltalin. The Gemara concludes he can agree with umen kona b'shevach kli, and is discussing a letter carrier, for example, where the item is not improved. Point number two, the Gemara suggests that the question of umen kona b'shevach kli is a malchokas anayim. A woman handed gold to a craftsman and said, "Asili sherim nizami utaba'os, make for me bracelets, earrings, or rings with this, ve'kadesh locha, and in return I'll become married to you." Rav Meir says she's married as soon as he makes him and gives him to her. But the Chachamim say, as the Gemara explains, that he must give her other money, but this jewelry would not affect Kedushin. The Gemara assumes everyone holds Yeshna l'schiros mitchil v'adsof v'hava milva. Wages become owed from the beginning of the work until the end, and that Kedushin made with a loan is ineffective. Since each pruta's worth of work would become owed to the laborer as it's done, accumulating debts to the craftsman, giving the finished product would not affect Kedushin. Rav Meir must hold umen kona b'shevach kli, so the craftsman is marrying her with his share in the jewelry, and the Chachamim disagree. Three other interpretations of this machlokas are given. And point number three, Shmuel said, Tabach umen shekilkel, an expert shochet, who was given an animal to shecht, and he ruined it by shechting it improperly, rendering it an avela. Chai b'shalom, he's liable to pay the owner. Maziku, posheu, he's a damager, he's negligent. Nasaka omer lo shchot l'mikan v'shachet l'mikan. It's like the owner said to him, shecht for me here at the trachea and esophagus, and he shechted it for him in a different place. The second phrase adds that even if he shechted it for free, he's still chai for his negligence. Shmuel was challenged from a brisa exempting an expert shochet, and he explained that his ruling followed Rav Meir's opinion, that meboy l'lumir me'anafshe, one must pay attention to avoid damaging another. This is explained to referring to his ruling that niskal posheihu, one who trips, is negligent. Later, the Gemara establishes that Yochna obligates an expert who is paid to shecht and made it an avela, but exempts one who shechted it for free. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara seeks to disprove that a craftsman acquires a utensil's improvement from a brisa, discussing the prohibition of delaying a laborer's wages overnight. If a craftsman completed work on a cloak given to him and informed the owner but did not return the cloak, the owner does not transgress the prohibition even 10 days later. However, if he returned the cloak midday, as soon as the sun sets on him, he transgresses on its account the prohibition of a laborer's wages shall not remain overnight with you, because the wages are owed as soon as the cloak is returned. If the craftsman acquires the improvement and his wages are considered payment for a sale, there should be no violation of baltalin. Even if he was hired to soften the cloth, that improvement will also be acquired. The Gemara answers that he was hired to stamp on the cloth, bitsha bitsha b'masa, a ma for each stamping, meaning he's paid for his acts and not the cloth's improvement, so he does not acquire it. Rav Sheshia said that kablanus, contractual work, work paid for completing a task, is subject to baltalin. The Gemara concludes he can agree with umen kona b'shevach kli, and is discussing a letter carrier, for example, where the item is not improved. Point number two, the Gemara suggests that the question of umen kona b'shevach kli is a malchokas anayim. A woman handed gold to a craftsman and said, "Asili sherim nizami utaba'os, make for me bracelets, earrings, or rings with this, ve'kadesh locha, and in return I'll become married to you." Rav Meir says she's married as soon as he makes him and gives him to her. But the Chachamim say, as the Gemara explains, that he must give her other money, but this jewelry would not affect Kedushin. The Gemara assumes everyone holds Yeshna l'schiros mitchil v'adsof v'hava milva. Wages become owed from the beginning of the work until the end, and that Kedushin made with a loan is ineffective. Since each pruta's worth of work would become owed to the laborer as it's done, accumulating debts to the craftsman, giving the finished product would not affect Kedushin. Rav Meir must hold umen kona b'shevach kli, so the craftsman is marrying her with his share in the jewelry, and the Chachamim disagree. Three other interpretations of this machlokas are given. And point number three, Shmuel said, Tabach Umen Shekilkel, an expert shochet, who was given an animal to shecht, and he ruined it by shechting it improperly, rendering it an avela. Chai b'shalom, he's liable to pay the owner. Maziku, bosheu, he's a damager, he's negligent. Nasaka Umer lo shchot l'mikan, v'shachet l'mikan. It's like the owner said to him, shecht for me here, at the trachea and esophagus, and he shechted it for him in a different place. The second phrase adds that even if he shechted it for free, he's still chai for his negligence. Shmuel was challenged from a braisa exempting an expert shochet, and he explained that his ruling followed Rabbi Meir's opinion, that meboi l'lumir me anafshe, one must pay attention to avoid damaging another. This is explained to referring to his ruling that niskal posheyuhu, one who trips, is negligent. Later the Gemara establishes that Rabbi Yochanan obligates an expert who is paid to shecht and made it an avela, but exempts one who shechted it for free. Alright, so now we go to Simmer Dav Tzadi Tes, and our standard simmon is a cheetah. A cheetah, so here goes. The craftsman who was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it and she'll become married to him. After she decided not to marry the expert shochet who improperly shechted an animal, rendering it a nevela. Once again, slow motion. The craftsman who was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots, cheetah, that must be Rav Tzadi Tes, cheetah. The craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to disprove that a craftsman acquires utensils improvement from a braisa discussing prohibition of delaying a laborer's wages overnight. If a craftsman completed work on a cloak given to him and informed the owner but did not return the cloak, the owner does not transgress the prohibition even 10 days later. However, if he returned the cloak midday, as soon as the sun sets on him, he transgresses baltalin, the prohibition of a laborer's wages shall not remain overnight with you, because the wages are owed as soon as the cloak is returned. The Gemara answers that he was hired to stamp on the cloth, a ma for each stamping, meaning he's paid for his acts and not the cloth's improvement, so he does not acquire it. So the craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer, was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'll become married to him, which reminds the Gemara suggests that the question of Umen Konach B'Shevach Kli is a Malchogas Tanaim. A woman handed gold to a craftsman and said, make for me bracelets, earrings, or rings with it, and in return I'll become married to you. Ramir says she's married as soon as he makes him and gives him to her, but the Chamis say, as the Gemara explains, that he must give her other money, but this jewelry would not affect Kedushin. The Gemara assumes everyone holds that Yeshna l'schiras metchila v'adsov v'hava milva. Wages become owed from the beginning of the work until the end, and that Kedushin made with a loan isn't effective. Since each pruta's worth of work would become owed to the laborer as it's done, accumulating debts to the craftsman giving her the finished product would not affect Kedushin. So the craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer, was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'll become married to him, after she decided not to marry the expert shochet who improperly shechted an animal, rendering it a nevela. Which reminds us, Shmuel said, Tabach Umen Shekilkel, an expert shochet who was given an animal to shecht, and he ruined it by shechting it improperly, rendering it a nevela. He's chayv to pay the owner. He's a damager, and he's negligent. It's like the owner said to him, shecht for me here, the trachea and esophagus, and he shechted him from a different place. The second phrase adds that even if he shechted it for free, he's still chayv for his negligence. So once again, the craftsman who was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'll become married to him, after she decided not to marry the expert shochet who improperly shechted an animal, rendering it a nevela. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazar. Dav Tzadi Hei. So the simmer Dav Tzadi Hei is a Tzahal tank commander. So here goes. The tank battle. Tank. That must be Dav Tzadi Hei, Tzahal tank commander. The tank battle between the thief returning a stolen sheep he sheared, along with the shearings, which reminds us, it was taught in a brace where Mer says that if one stole a sheep and sheared it, or a cow, and it gave birth, Misham Osab Bez Gizoseb Bez Vladosel, he pays, means he returns it, its shearings, and its offspring. The Gemara asks, if Mer holds Shinui does not acquire, so the robber does not acquire with the shorn wool, nor the born fetus, or although he generally holds Shinui does acquire, he penalized the robber to return the wool and the calf. So the tank battle between the thief returning a stolen sheep he sheared, along with his shearings, and the thief returning a stolen sheep with the wool that grew in his possession, which reminds us, in the same brace where Yehuda says, Gezela chozeres be'eneho, the stolen animal returns to its owner as is, without the shorn wool and calf. He additionally pays the value of the wool or fetus at the time of the robbery. Rabbi Shimon says we view it as if it was appraised and placed with him according to its cash value at the time of the robbery, and he pays that amount. Razvid explains, B'shevachal gabi gazel kamufike. They argue about improvements which are still attached to the stolen item, meaning the animal grew, wore, or became pregnant in his possession. Reed holds they belong to the original owner, since he says the animal is returned as is, including additional improvements. And Rav Shimon, who views the animal as if it was appraised at the robbery, holds all improvements belong to the robber, who acquires them with shinui, even while attached. So the tank battle between the thief returning a stolen sheep he sheared, along with the shearings, and the thief returning a stolen sheep with the wool that grew in his possession, was interrupted when a bechor stepped onto the field to pay his brother with cash for his share in the improvements they made to their father's estate before dividing it, which reminds us. Shmuel said, Shlosha shamin lehen shevach. There are three people for whom we assess the improvements they made to the land, umalin osam bedamim, and we remove them from their share in the land through a money payment. The first one being a bechor pays cash to his brother for his share in improvements they made to the estate before dividing it, since the bechor does not receive a double portion in the subsequent improvements. Tav Tzadivav. So the Zimmer Tav Tzadivav is a town crier proclaiming the king's commandments. So here goes. The town crier, that must be Tav Tzadivav, Tzav. The town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep a share in the improvements, which reminds us, Rava said, Gazel v'yishpiach u'machar, if one stole something and improved it and then sold it, mashi hishpiach u'machar, what he improved, he has sold. Rashi says in his first explanation, this refers to the partial share the robber acquires in the improvements, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rava inquired if the buyer improved the stolen article, if he also receives this share in the article, and concluded, Mamacha Rishon L'Sheni, what did the first sell to the second? Kol Schus Shetavu L'Yadu, any right that comes into his hand. The buyer acquires all rights of the gazlan, including to acquire a share in his improvements. So the town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep his share in the improvements, blew his trumpet to alert the police that the thief was hiding behind a pile of palm tree logs he had cut from a stolen palm tree, which he did not acquire, which reminds us, Rapapa said, that if someone stole a palm tree and cut it down, even if he felled it into his own land, he does not acquire it, because originally it was called a palm tree, and now too, it's still called a palm tree, and not considered changed. Even if he cut it into logs, they're still called palm tree logs and unchanged. However, if he made them into beams, he does acquire them. So the town crier who bought a stolen bell and fashioned it into a long trumpet, allowing him to keep his share in the improvements, blew his trumpet to alert the police that the thief was hiding behind a pile of palm tree logs he had cut from a stolen palm tree, which he did not acquire, where he was melting stolen silver coins into a bar and acquiring them, since remaking coins would be panim chadashos, Balokan, which reminds us, if one stole a bar of silver and made it into coins, he does not acquire it because it can be returned to a bar. The slight differences in shape are insignificant for a bar of silver. But if one stole silver coins and melted them into a bar, he does acquire them because remaking them into coins would be panim chadashos. Dav Tzadi Zayin. So the Simmer Dav Tzadi Zayin is a chess master, a chess master. So here goes. The chess master, that must be more on Dav Tzadi Zayin. Chess. The chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use, which reminds us, Rav ruled that an evid is considered like land and cannot be considered stolen. This contradicts another ruling of Rav's, Hatokef ba'avdo shel chavero ba'asa b'malacha putter. One who seizes his fellow slave and did work with him is putter from paying for his use. If a slave cannot be legally stolen and remains in the master's domain, he should pay for his work, whereas if he can be stolen, he merely returns it as is. The Gemara answers that he worked shelo b'shas malacha, not at the time of the master's work, so the master suffered no loss. So the chess master thief who stole someone's evit to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use had a pile of coins he stole on the table, which had since become disqualified by the government that he was going to return to the victim, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous stuff taught that if one stole a coin v'nistak and it cracked, he must pay its initial value, but if nifsal, it became disqualified, he may return it to the owner as is. Rav Huna interprets cracked literally, whereby the gazman requires it with a shenui, and nifsal means psal to malchus, the government disqualified it. Rav Huna says that if the government disqualified it, it's tantamount to being cracked, and the gazman pays its initial value. Rather, nifsal means one province no longer accepts it as currency, but another does. So the chess master thief who stole someone's evid to polish his chess pieces and was delighted he was putter for paying for his use had a pile of coins he stole on the table, which had since become disqualified by the government that he was going to return to the victim and repaid a loan with a coin he had fixed payment on and told the lender, go and spend it in Meishan where it's still accepted, which reminds us, if someone lends his friend and fixes payment on a coin, and the coin became disqualified, Rav says, he must give him a coin that passes as currency at that time of payment, since he agreed to pay with currency. Shmuel says, he may pay with the original currency and tell the lender, go and spend it in Meishan, where it's still accepted. Dav Tzadiches. So the simon Dav Tzadiches relates to schok, and we use a clown. So here goes. The clown routine. Clown? That must be more Dav Tzadiches. Schok. The clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, which reminds us, Rabba said, Hazork Madbeah Shal Chavrila Yamagado Pater. One who throws his fellow's coin into the Mediterranean Sea is exempt from paying because it can be retrieved. Rashi explains that although the owner has to pay divers to retrieve it, that damage is indirect. It's grama. This is only if the water is clear, where the coin is visible. But if it was thrown into murky waters, he's liable because it's considered lost. So the clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, followed by the second clown taking revenge and burning the first clown's shtar and laughing that he only burned a mere paper of his, which reminds us, Rabbah said, Hasorv shtaro shel chavero pater. One who burns his fellow's loan document is pater. Although the lender cannot collect his loan, the one who burned the shtar can say, Niara klaiminach, I burned a mere paper of yours and did not directly damage the loan, but destroyed his proof. Even Rabbi Shimon, who holds davar hagorma l'mamun k'mamun dami, something that causes a benefit of money, is like money, only holds this way, but davar she'ikaro mamun, with something that is inherently money, such as an animal, which became hektish, or chametz, which became asur b'hana after Pesach, but would agree that a shtar, which has no inherent value, is not considered money. So the clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand, so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, followed by the second clown taking revenge and burning the first clown's shtar and laughing that he only burned a mere paper of his, concluded with the third clown pretending to be a carpenter who broke the box he made for the first two and saying, Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, which reminds us, if one gave a carpenter wood to make a box and after making it, he broke it, he's exempt from paying the value of the finished product. The Gemara explains, Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, a craftsman acquires the improvement to a Kli resulting from his work and ordinarily sells that share to the owner when it's complete. Therefore, when it breaks, the owner's loss is only the original wood he owned, not the increased value. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which step to win? The one who throws his fellow's coin into the Yamagado is exempt from paying because it can be retrieved if the waters are clear. That's on Dav Tzadiches. Good. Number two, which step to win? The one who steals one's Eved who did work for him, he's pater for paying for his use. That's on Dav Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number three, which of the one an expert shochet who improperly shechted, rendering the animal a nevela, is chayv to pay the owner? That's on Dav Tzadi Tes. Good. Number four, which of the one, the one who steals pieces of wood and makes them into kalim, is misham kashas gzeil, he pays their value at the time of the robbery? That's on Dav Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number five, which of the one, the one who burns his fellow shtar is putter. Although the lender cannot collect his loan, the one who burned the shtar can say, I burned a mere paper of yours. That's on Dav Tzadi Ches. Good. Number six, which of the one, Rav Huna holds that a coin that is nipsal means it is disqualified by the government to use. That's on Dav Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number seven, which of the one, if a craftsman returned a cloak at midday, as soon as the sun sets, the owner is over on Bal Talin. That's on Dav Tzadi Tes. Good. Number eight, which of the one, if one stole wheat and made bread with it and then separated challah, he cannot make a bracha as it's blaspheming Hashem. That's on Dav Tzadi Dalet. Good. Number nine, which of the case where a woman gave a craftsman some gold and asked him to make a ring for her and she'll become married to him. That's on Dav Tzadi Tes. Good. Number ten, which of the one, a buyer who makes improvements in a stolen article also receives a share in the article. That's on Dav Tzadi Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is everybody, Rav Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.